Shalom to all. Today's office is Babas Daf Pei Vav, and we are starting about the 14th line with the words Tanan Hasam. And today's office sponsor Lilu Nishmas Mars Merim Sar Bas Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. Her neshama should have an aliyah. And we continue discussing kinyanim. Here we begin by discussing the kinyan of meshicha, pulling a thing towards oneself. The Gemara tells us Tanan Hasam. We have a mission over there, which is a Maseches Kiddushin. We brought it up earlier in the Masechta as well. Nechasim Shiesh LaMachrayes, which is another way of saying karka, property. Nikna Mekesu B'Shtar B'Chazaka. One could acquire them by either paying money or by getting a shtar or by making a chazaka in this property. V'she'en LaMachrayes, things that do not. Namely, metaltolin, a nikkun el meshicha. One acquires them through meshicha. Now, besura masul al hashmaitz meshmeid Rav Chisda. In sura, they taught the following memra over in the name of Chisda. Whereas bepumpadisa masul meshmeid Rav Kahana. In pumpadisa, they said it over in the name of Kahana. And va'amrila, some say meshmeid Rava. They said it over in the name of Rava. But either which way, what's this memra? Loishanu, this is only taught el dvarm she'ain darken lagbia. That if it's not the norm to pick this thing up to do a hagbah to lift it, so then one does meshicha on it. Aval dvarm she'darken lagbia. But if it's normal to lift it, pick it up, do hagbah, so then hagbah. In, but Meshicha Lai, the only way to be kind is with Hagbah and not Meshicha. Now, what's something that's not the norm to do Hagbah to? That's if it's either too heavy or if it's too large. But if it doesn't fit this description, so then he would have to do Hagbah to be kind. And that's what we're going to be discussing for quite some time. Is that really true? Or perhaps a person could do Meshicha if he wants to, even though Hagbah is a possibility. So that's about Abaye Hashmaitza. Abaye was sitting in the Besmejish and saying this over, and Esra Rav Adar Bar Masal Abaye, Rav Adar Bar Masal asked Abaye from the following. Now, this has to do with the concept of Kamlai Bidrav Minei. We know that the person does one action, and in that he was over two Yisurim. We're only going to mechayev him for one, for the more chamer of the two. Kamle bidirab mine, the one which is more rabba, more chamer, more extreme, harsher, that's the one he's going to be chayev for, and not the lesser one. But if he does these two Yisurim in two separate actions, he's going to be chayev for both of them. So here we're going to talk about two Yisurim being done on Shabbos. One of them is going to mechayev him misa for breaking Shabbos. The other one is just going to mechayev him mamanis. And here we have it, hagan of kispa Shabbos. If a person steals a wallet on Shabbos, he takes it out of the guy's rishos and brings it to the rishos rabbim. Chayev, he has to pay for that wallet that he stole. Shekvarnas chayv b'gneva kum shavu de Isra Shabbos, because he was already chayv for the gneva before he got to the Isra Shabbos. First, he stole the wallet by lifting it up by doing hagbah, and then he walked out of his friend's rishos into the rishos rabbim. It's only at that point in time that he's over Isra Shabbos. So these two yisurim are being done two separate times. So he's chayv to pay for that wallet that he stole, even though he's being chayv misa for breaking Shabbos. However, hay magar v'yotze magar v'yotze. Let's say he was dragging the wallet out of the guy's rishos. So in this case, putter, he does not have to pay for the money stolen. Shari Isra Shabbos v'gneva b'ayin ke'echad, because the Isra Shabbos and the stealing are coming at the very same time, because when is he chayv for stealing it? The moment he pulls it out of his friend's rishos into the rishos rabim, and at the very same moment he's chayv for taking from rishos yachad to rishos rabim. And so here we would say kamal b'drabunei, he's only chayv for breaking Shabbos and not for stealing the wallet. Now here's the question: v'arei kis a wallet the bar hagbahu, this is something that should be lifted. It's a bar hagbah, b'afilu hachi nonetheless kind of meshicha. We see very clearly in the second case that he's kind of with meshicha, with dragging it, and seems to be clearly against what we were saying before, that if you're able to be kind of with hagbah, you have to do that kinyan and you're not to do meshicha. However, Armalehi responded, but misna, it's talking about that he pulled it by the straps, and that's why it was okay to do meshicha. So Rav Ramasna right away responded back to Abaye, ano anami misna kamina, I'm also talking about pulling it by the straps, but nonetheless, we see he was able to be counted by meshicha. But why is that? Just because he was pulling it by the straps, that doesn't mean he should be allowed to be counted by meshicha, he should have to do agbah. So Armalehi Abaye responded to him, b'midi debay misna, I'm talking about something that needs straps. It was a very large purse, it wasn't a little wallet you slip into your pocket, it was something very large that needed to be pulled by the straps, and that's why meshicha is a valid kinyan, and he doesn't have to do agbah because it's not the norm to do agbah. So no question from here. The Gemara attempts another question on this. Tashma, we had brought a brayso on the previous daf. Rishus meicher loykana adcheg biana oyadche etzian rishusai, that if the lekeach is in the rishus of the meicher, he does not acquire the thing until he either does agbah or until he brings it out of the rishus, which basically means meshicha. Alma, we see from here immediately bar agbah that something which is able to be lifted, and we know it could be lifted because one of the kinyanim suggested over here was agbah, but nonetheless brayso tells us ibay agbah kanilei ibay meshicha kanilei, that if he wants he be kanei by agbah, that's the first part. And if he wants, he'd be counted by Meshicha. That's the Ad Sheyetzian Meshusai. We see very clearly that even though he could do Hagbah, he still is able to be counted by Meshicha. However, Amar Nachman Yitzchak, he says, not a Raya, let's daven Kitani. These are two separate things being said in the Braisa. Midi Debar Hagbah, Bagbah, something that you're able to do Hagbah too. You have to do Hagbah too. That's the first part. And Midi Debar Meshicha, Bemeshicha, something which the norm is to do Meshicha too because it's too large or heavy. So then Meshicha has to be done to it. And it's not either or. So once again, no question on this rule. Another tempted question, Pevavon Bez on top, Tashma. This is from our Mishnah. We had said, if a person sold pears to his friend, Mashach v'loy Madad, if he did Meshicha on them, even though they weren't measured, Kani, he acquires them. Now, while pears, produce, is something that one can lift up. Apples are very easy. You just lift up a few apples. Viktani, nonetheless, what does the Mishnah say? The Kani b'Meshicha, that he acquires them by Meshicha. That's what the Mishnah said. Mashach v'loy Madad. And so once again, we have this attempted Raya, that even though one could do Hagba on this thing, Meshicha is also a valid Kenyan. The Gemara says, no. What are we talking about over here? Bishlifi Ravavi, where they're very large bundles of produce, and large bundles one is not able to lift up, and that's why we're talking about Mashicha. Ask Amar Yachid, that's really so. Ema Seifa, take a look at the end of the Mishnah. What do we say? If a person buys flax from his friend, he's not cutting them until he's metaltal them from this place to a different one, which basically means Hagbah. And Autopishan Mishlifi Ravari Miloy Avdi, is flax not something that sometimes is made in big bundles, but also sometimes made in small bundles? So as Mishnah tells that he has to do Hagbah over here. Mashicha should be a valid Kenyan. The Gemara answer is no. Shani Pishton, flax is actually different. The Mishtamit, it's very slippery, and it turns out that flax is not able to be made into large bundles like we just thought previously. We can only make it small bundles, and therefore the only valid Kenyan is Hagbah and not Mashicha. Here we have one last attempted question. Amrli Vino Ravashi, Vino told Ravashi, Tashma, we have a Mishnah that tells us as follows, Behema Gasa Nikins B'Mesira, that a large animal, such as a cow or a horse, is acquired by Mesira, handing over of the reins, for example, Vahadaka, and a small animal, such as sheep or goats, Vahagbah, is acquired by Agbah by lifting it up. Divrei Rav Meir Rav Shimon Elazar, that's what Rav Meir Rav Shimon Elazar say. Vacham Rav Chaim tell us, Behema Daka, a small animal, B'Mashicha, it could be acquired through Mashicha. Now here's the question, about Behema Daka, a small animal, Dibar Agbah, one could lift it up, how hard is it to lift a goat up? Nonetheless, what does the Mishnah say? The Chaim tell us, the Kani B'Mashicha, the one could acquire it through Mashicha. I think my answer is that no. Shani Behema, the Sarcha. A Behema Daka, a small animal, is different because it plants its feet firmly in the ground. That's what Sarcha is. It like clings to the ground and it's difficult to lift it up. So therefore, Mashicha is a valid Kenyan by a small animal. But in regards to something else, that Hagbah is the norm. You have to do Hagbah and you cannot do Mashicha. And moving on to something else, continue to discuss Kenyanim. Here the main focus is a transaction, a buyer and a seller, and when exactly the thing being bought is officially acquired. The Gemara tells us, Rav Shmuel Derm Shavaya, both of them say, let's say this is what the seller told the buyer. Kur b'shloishim ani marcha lecha. I'm selling you a kur for 30. Now it's important to note that a kur is 30 saw. So he's basically telling him, I'm selling you 30 saw for 30 sela. But he didn't say, I'm selling you 30. He told him, I'm just selling you kur for 30. In this case, yachal achzer bai afilu b'sa achroino, he's allowed to be chazer from the deal, even in the very last saw. Meaning he measured out saw 1, saw 2, saw 25, 26, 27, and even measured out saw 28. So the kech has 29 saw right now by him. The marcha could still be chazer on it. However, let's say he told him, kur b'shloishim, saw b'sela ani marcha lecha, I'm selling you a kur for 30, and that is a saw for a sela. He broke it down further, so then rishon rishon kana, the first one is acquired, meaning as each saw is being measured out, that's automatically acquired, and the marcha is allowed to back out. And our havamina is that the difference between the resha and the seifa of the statement is because in the resha, he just made it a block. He said, I'm selling you the entire kur for 30. So yes, even though a kur is 30, so technically works out that each saw costs a sela, since he didn't tell him that, he just said, I'm selling you a whole kur, this sale is not considered final until the whole thing is measured out. However, in the second part, where he was very clear, he said, I'm selling you a whole kur for 30, but each saw costs a sela, so it's obvious that he's breaking it up into those smaller increments, and therefore, as those small increments are measured out, he's not allowed to back out. However, now we have a question on this. Tashma, we had our brisa on Pei Amud Aleph that we've quoted many times up until now, bringing questions from, and what does it say over there? Im haisa midah shel echad mehen, if in this transaction, the midah, the measuring thing that's being used, belongs to one of them, either the meicher or the lekeach, rishon rishon kana, as the thing is being measured out into it, lekeach automatically acquires it. And that's why afagav deloy nismal midah, even though this measuring thing wasn't full. Our question over here is being brought from the second part of that statement, where we're talking about kelo shel lekeach, as lekeach's midah is his measuring cup, as we see clearly that even though the full thing wasn't measured out, the little bit that has been is already acquired by lekeach. So the answer is no question from the brayso. Kelo d'amar lei, it could be that's referring to where he told him, hin b'shnei maser sloim, loig b'sela inei marcha lecha, and I'm selling you a hin, which is a measurement for 12 sela, and that's a loig for 1 sela, and uchadam rav kahana, this is just like rav kahana, that shnasus hayu behin, there were markings in the hin measurement. Hachinami shnasus hayu midas, there were markings in the measurement. In the base of mikdash, there was a large measurement called a hin, and anytime we needed oil, either chatzi hin or quarter of a hin, no matter what, it was all measured in this one large measurement of a hin, and there was different markings on the kli itself to show where to pour the oil up until. And it could be the same thing over here in the braisa, that they had a large measuring kli, and there was different markings within it to show where you should pour up until if you wanted a smaller measurement. Kind of like in some people's houses, where they have a cup measurement, and even though it's one cup, there's a notch in it that says, up until here is a half a cup, up until here is a third or a quarter, and so it's the same thing, and therefore, even though the measuring kli itself wasn't full to the top, since the thing that was being sold was poured up into a particular marking, that's already considered a unique measurement by itself, and that's officially nikna by the lekeach. So there's no question on Rav and Shmuel's memra. So Tashma, another attempted question on this. A braisa tells us as follows, HaSarichas HaPoyel Lasus Ima LeGayren HaYoyim B'dinner. A fellow hires a worker to do work with him by the Gayren, by the harvest season, and he's paying him one dinner for a day. However, here's the catch. Pei Zayin Amar Alf on top, Ula Gayren Yafa Sela. During the actual season of the Gayren, the harvest season, a pile actually costs a Sela for a day, which is four times the price of a dinner. So for example, the Baal Bais goes over to the pile, the worker, and tells him, the Gayren is in 1 month's time. I want you to work for me the entire Gayren period, which is also a full month. So basically, basically, I want you to work for me for 30 days, and I'm willing to pay you one dinar per day, and here are all 30 dinarim right now. Now, here's the problem. As we just said, that the cost of an actual worker during the Geirin season in 1 month's time is actually four times that price. It's a sella. What does the price tell us? The Baal Bayis is not allowed to benefit from that worker more than he actually paid him. And why is that? Because this seems to be like ribbis. It's called scharim tanas mois. If I give a person money now that he could use or just hang on to, and he pays me more later, he's basically paying me more for this chus that he had, this ability that I waited for my money. He didn't have to pay me back right away, but he was able to pay me back later. And it looks like that's what's happening. The Baal Bayis gave the worker 30 dinarim right now, and the worker's only, so to speak, paying him back, which means he's only going to be working for the Baal Bayis in 30 days' time. And by that time, his work is more valuable. So it's like he's paying back more than he borrowed. Aval, however, the Baal Bayis continues, im schari mehayoyim bidinar liyoyim, if he hires him from today, he's paying him a dinner every single day, already starting today, before the Geirin, and he pays the entire amount in advance. And so once again, in our example, it was a month before the Geirin, and he wants to hire him for a full month, so he pays him 2 months right now. In this situation, even though ulgarin yafa sella, that by the Geirin season, the worker could technically be hired for a full sella, mutter is permitted for the Baal Bayis to benefit from him, because he's basically starting work right now, and therefore, it doesn't look like any amtanas mais. Here's the question, if it's really true, what Rav and Shmuel said, that when a meicher expresses, I'm selling you a kur for 30, that's one saw per sella, in this situation, every saw that's measured out is automatically acquired. Well, achanami in this case as well, meaning in the second part of the braisa, kamakam mifsak pasak, the first ones as they're given, meaning as each day comes, that's like its own thing. Mifsak pasak means it stops, it's like a brand new thing the next day. Also, lehonis hamenu, and the Baal Bayis isn't allowed to have enough from his worker. Again, because his money that he had paid him for all the subsequent work is just considered like a loan, like a halva. And when the braisa says, medinner liyayim, that when he's paying him a dinner per days of work, la garin yafasel a mutter, and then it's mutter for him to benefit from the worker, even though he's really worth a sella in the time of the Geirin, amai, why should that be? It's like agarnutterly, he's waiting for me. In other words, it's like the worker saying that the Baal Bayis is waiting for me, he's giving time for me to pay him back, and that's why I'm providing him with work that's worth more than what he actually paid me. Tomer Rava, Rava responds to this, do you really think this is a problem? Zulzuli b'schirus mi aser? As a person not letting mizalzal his wages, a guy can hire himself out for as much as he wants. And even though the standard cost of the labor is X, he could still hire himself out for Y, which is less than that if he so chooses. And therefore, just because technically the worker can hire himself out for more later on when it's the actual Geirin season, he's allowed to hire himself out for whatever he wants now because he needs the money now. There's no agar nutter. So Gemara asks, okay, if that's really true, then we have a different issue. Mashna ratio, mashna seifa. So what's the difference between the ratio and the seifa, the braisa? In the ratio, we do have this issue, in the seifa, we don't. And we just explained for why we don't have this issue in the seifa. Well, that same logic should apply to the ratio as well. So the Gemara answer is no. Ratio, the loika avid ba'adem hashta. In the ratio, since the worker is not working for the Baal Bayis right now, he's accepting the money right now, but he's only going to be working in a month's time when the Geirin actually starts. So then, mischazi ki agar nutterly. It looks like agar nutter. But seifa, in the second part of the braisa, the ka'avid ba'adem hashta, that he starts working for the Baal Bayis right now, loy mechzi ki agar nutterly, it doesn't look like agar nutter, and that's the difference between the ratio and the seifa. Now we're just going to go on to explain the last part of the Mishnah before we conclude for the day. In the case of a person bought flax, if it's detached from the ground, he has to do akbat to the entire thing. But if it's attached to the ground, all he has to do is uproot a little bit. He has to detach just a bit from the ground, and then he's kind of everything. So Gemara asks, Mishum detalish kol shehu kana, just because he was tailish a little bit of that which he bought, he's kind of everything. How does that make sense? So Amar Sheshes answers, Hacham Eiskin, what are we talking about over here? The Amar Lei, it's where the seller told the buyer, Lech yapit lecha karka kol shehu, go and fix up or improve a little bit of the land for yourself, ukni kol masha oleha, and by improving that bit of land, you're being kind of everything on it, and that's basically making a chazak on the property, and by making the chazak on the land, can you be kind of everything on the land, and that's why in this particular situation, being tailish a little bit is being kind of everything. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with a brand new Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.